You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
With the Yoga of War podcast, here today with a live special report update with Lieutenant Colonel in the Reserves, Ihab Schleyan. Did I say that okay? Schleyan. Oh, Chileon. Oh, that's not how it's spelled. Okay. Thank you, Chileon. Sorry, I just asked you before we went live and I already forgot. So Ihab has actually been fighting in the Rising Lions operation war in Iran, and he's here to give us a live report. Ihab, all yours. Tell us what's going on.
You know, I was now in the base. You know, we are trying, you know, all the time we are looking in Iran what will happen. So now we are getting alerts that there will be a missiles launched here to Israel. But it's okay. First of all, I want you to look at the map of Iran and the map of Israel and really look how Israel is too small and what did Israel to Iran. Let's take it Russian now and Ukrainian, the war with Russian and Ukrainian. You say that the Russian, there are 3 years, they didn't be at the same what Israel did to Iran, to the terrorism Iran. So now you understand how we are in Israel. The IDF is too strong. We have the weapon. We have the, all the things that we can protect our civilian. So everybody ask why Israel start attack Iran. You know, I cannot explain everything. I cannot, talk about everything here because it's classified. But if you know Iran, is the snake, is the head of the snake. All the money for Hamas, Jihad al-Islami, Hezbollah, and in Syria also, all the money is from Iran. So if you take Iran away, you can see that there no terrorism regime will do something here. So we are now in Israel surrounded by all the terrorism. Also, you know, ISIS, they all the time saying that ISIS is not Iran. That for sure, but let's say there's an ISIS, but the others that are attacking Israel. So when you hit the head of the snake, then you will see there will be no more terror around us. That for sure. So what I know as a lieutenant colonel in the army, we know that Iran say all the time when they will get atomic bombs, they will shoot it and launch the rocket here to Israel, the missiles. They will do it. Now you can see that they all time launching missiles to Israel. It's not atomic launch that you see it. But you see they are destroying, they are killing civilian. They didn't attack any base. They all the time launching missiles on civilian areas. So we know that when we got an atomic missiles, they will kill a civilian. So what they did Israel, it's Benjamin Netanyahu who decide that we need to attack first. Because if we don't do it, if we wait till the Iranian will start, I think there will be a lot of casualties here in Israel, a lot of dead civilians will die. As you see, also Arab will die from Taibe, from missiles who got from Iran. So Iran, they don't care if you are a Jewish, Christian, Muslims, or Druze. They just want to show the world that they are strong. You know, when you look at Iran, they want that all the Arabs around them, Arab countries, to see that the Iranian, they have the power. So they will stay afraid of them. Now I think everything will change. I believe that the countries start looking, wow, this is Iran that all the time saying they will do, I will kill, and then they do nothing. Still, we know that the Iranian regime, they still have get the missiles that can kill. And, you know, I think those missiles will get also to U.S. So we need to attack them. I hope that the Trump will decide that also the U.S. Will start working with the IDF together, because we need to stop the war. To stop the war, we need to get off the head of the snake. The head of the snake is Iran. So if there is any question about that, I'm ready.
Is that you said that as basically as soon as Iran is decapitated, also so will their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, etc. My question, I actually have two questions about that. One is they still have reserves. It's not like the moment that Iran is destroyed, all their missiles and money that they already have are suddenly going to disappear. But the second question is, they also have other funders such as Qatar, and also I know that Turkey's a little bit more complex because they're in NATO, but they also certainly want to take over that role. So where do you see that there would be a lag between complete, let's say Iran, because now Trump is saying that he wants complete surrender. Let's say Iran surrenders completely. Yes. For anybody who can't hear, there's the sirens going off for a warning for incoming missiles. Are there shelters everywhere? You're going to one of the roadside shelters. Where are you headed now?
Can I see it?
Are there shelters at every gas station in Israel?
But I, you know, I can protect myself.
I was just driving around Israel and any random place, not Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem, not a major city. Is there always going to be a shelter nearby? Like, how far apart are shelters, and how do people know where they are?
Haifa and Jerusalem. Not in every building there's a shelter. So now I'm also in Haifa. I need to go down by the stairs, you know, to walk 1 kilometer to get inside the shelter. It's not easy, but you know, all the system here, the alert system, we have 10 minutes alert because Iran, it's too far. It's not like launching missile from Gaza and Lebanon. You got only 3 minutes alert. Here we got the 10 minute or 12 minute to go to the shelters. So meanwhile, it's okay. But there's a places like Nebrak and villages and cities, Arab village, let's say, they don't have any shelters. So there's a problem here. It's a lot of money you need to build the shelters in every city and villages. I hope that this war will end all the things that we need to build any shelters. I hope so. So when you ask about the Iranian regime, when we cut the head of the snake, I believe there won't be any more wars. You will see it. It's the, you know, if you take back, let's go back to Saddam Hussein in Iraq. You know, if Saddam Hussein in Iraq is still here, I don't believe that Iran will be here. So we need all the time to be the tough guy. So now we need to be, it's called the Wild Wild East. So we need to be the tough guys. Israel must be the tough. We need all the time that the U.S. to all the time support Israel, because Israel, it's the last line. I can't call it the immunity, the whole world. I think there's a lot of countries that don't understand that. You know, when I saw Macron in French, he say, we need to stop the war, stop the war. What are you talking about? You know, in French, there will be, as the same, you'll be there will be ISIS there. You cannot protect yourself maybe in 3-4 years from now. But now, if we will believe the war and win the war, I say it, I want to say the war that we win, I think it will be, let's say, a red flag for all the terrorism also in the West countries. You know, I visited the UK. Hamas, I was terrified saying, wow, I say, wow. It's no different from UK to Israel here, what's happening here in the Palestinian Authority. So we need to fight and win the war. We don't have any war, any country here. As Israel, this is the, you know, there's no Jewish countries here. Israel is the last country. There's no more places that the Jewish can live. And also us, as you know, I'm not a Jewish. As you see, I'm a Christian. So I believe for us as a Christian community, we cannot live in Arab countries.
You make a very important point that people don't realize, that the ICBM program, as we've seen, can already reach Israel. We already know that. What they're working on now is how to reach America, and Iran's ultimate goal would be... So, are you safe now? Did they determine...
We are getting that in message in the phone, all the phones with the message.
So, apparently, from what I heard, they just changed the alert system from giving a half-hour warning to 10-minute warning. Why did they do that?
Get the 10 minutes. You know, the people start saying, okay, we have time. Just wait. It's okay. Let's drink a coffee. We don't want that. We want the civilian, you know. Now, you know, it's where you see all of them. I see this one. He's standing here. He was drinking coffee. It's okay. 2 minutes. I will go to the car. So it's like, you know, it's routine. Well, it's like a routine. It's not good.
Actually, of the people who have been killed in Israel, do you know if there are any of them who just didn't go to the shelters? I know that some of them, unfortunately, because of direct hits, were hit in their shelters. But was some of it, because I've been in Israel and I see how people are like, oh, it is what it is. And they don't, a lot of times people just don't take things seriously enough. Do we know if that was the cause of some of the casualties?
He's 16 years old. He just still, he want to sleep in the bed. He say, I don't want to go to inside to the shelters. But his family, all of them, that was inside the shelters who he was died. In Taibe, it's in our village. Those four girls who died, just, you know, they say, they think, okay, there will be any muscles in the village. So they were stupid enough, let's say, that they think that the Iranian won't shoot any to the Arabs. So four of them were died because they don't inside the shelters. Yes, a lot of colleges that died because they didn't inside the shelters. That's right. Consciously. It's okay. We can sit here, seeing TV, just wait. So we don't want that. We want all of them to be, you know, ready to go inside the shelters, to understand it's not the way that you can drink coffee or wait to see the missiles above us.
Coffee going on in the shelters, but that's okay. So I don't know if you can answer this question. So don't if you can't, but in broad terms, what are you doing in Operation Rising Lions? Can you talk about like what your role is or no? Okay.
The uniform, but 5 hours before I was working in an electricity company, so I'm working there. They called me up, came here. So if there's an interview, I need to talk to the spokesperson to the army and say to him that I need to be in broadcast. But meanwhile, I still civil. So that's the reason I'm not talking about the army and what we are doing and what, you know, what IDF is still doing. But as you know, as you see in the news, that we are kicking their asses. So
a lot more, so we'll just go with open source information then. that a lot more launchers, dozens more, were destroyed in Iran today. Do we know now, because I know yesterday I think that one third of the launchers were destroyed. Where are we standing now as far, because if we take out their launchers, I think that some people don't necessarily think about that you need a missile and you need a launcher. And if we take out their launchers, they're going to wind up using what, like slingshots. So where are we in taking out their launchers? Because, yeah.
From missiles or rocket from Gaza Strip and Lebanon, and what happened in Iran. So I need everybody to understand that. First, Gaza Strip or Lebanon, it's 12 kilometers. They can launch a rocket and go inside in Tel Aviv. So you can see, you can put a launch rocket, you can dig a hole and put a launch rocket, and that's it. You can launch a rocket. But Iran, because it's too far from here, as you know, they cannot launch a rocket as the same as the Gaza Strip, as Hamas and Hezbollah. They need to take it by trucks. So they have a big trucks, because the missiles need to be big missile to launch it here to Israel. So what the Iranian regime did? The Iran understand that all the aircraft and the UAV, all the eyes of IDF, seeing everything in Iran. So they don't want to move any trucks in the day. So they all the time, this is the reason that you're seeing that are launching rocket. They're trying to launch rocket in the night, because the trucks, they think that we can't see the trucks in the night. So now they start launching rocket in the day. So there's a big trucks, big launch rocket. I let's say for good for us, our eyes, you can see it, but there's a lot of launch rocket trucks like this. They have a lot of trucks and a lot of launch rocket, they got it. So I hope that all the times they are trying to launch a rocket, our aircraft start attacking them. So meanwhile, and let's say in the east of Iran, they don't have any more trucks or launch rockets. So they are trying from Tehran and the east. So they think that we are not there. But our aircraft and our eyes looking on all Iran, that's for sure.
2025 is... Hasn't night vision technology gotten strong enough that it doesn't really matter if it's day or night?
Between a regular truck and a truck with missiles, it's not the same. At the day, you can see it, but in the night, it's the same as every truck. We can move it in the freeway. So still.
So how much of their launching capacity has been destroyed at this point? Do we know?
I think it's one quarter. I don't know.
Yesterday to today, because I heard this morning that there were a lot more that were destroyed, but maybe not enough to really impact like the overall. Okay, got it.
I don't want to say anything, you know, you understand.
So how do you think that victory in Iran will affect hostage negotiations?
I think he know when he, let's say he stopped the wall, he will understand he will be there anymore. I think he know that if he say the word, we stop the wall, so all the citizens will understand, all the people will understand in Iran, that's it. There's no more Iranian regime. I believe that the intelligence and also in USA, they understand that in the war, with keep on with the war, Khamenei and all the Fayyad al-Quds and all his enemy, all his high position in the Iranian regime will start going away. They will start afraid, and the people of Iran, as you know, they don't want to live with the Islamic authority or the Islamic ways or Khalifa way. I believe that the Iranian want to live as the same as Lebanon. Lebanon, in Lebanon, the Christians are not the majority, but they are 46%. But the 46%, they don't want to live as a Muslim regime. So if I think in the war, maybe in the another 2 weeks, we will see the difference in Iran. This is my idea. This is my idea. I think so.
Regime start to finally rise
yes.
up.
This is I think this is the only way that we can change Iran from Khilafa, from Islamic Khilafik to the civilian or democratic. As you see in Syria, in 48 hours you see the difference between Syria before as the dictator, let's see now it's looking like it's a democratic country. I hope so.
We're not going to get into right now, but yes, everybody's hoping for a popular uprising in Iran. I think the problem is that there is no emergent leader. We all want to see. So I think that one of the themes that is ongoing in this war is that people in the West in keep putting our own concepts and morality onto how these Islamic regimes function, and it doesn't necessarily work that way. And so we say, oh, democracy, and it seems like such a wonderful solution to everything, but ultimately there has to be someone who is not only willing to step in and take over, but that the majority of the populace wants to step in and take over. Now, of course, Pahlavi's name is the one that seems to be being thrown about, and it seems as if he's an ally of Israel. That would be at least Israel's best bet, but not sure that A, he wants to step in from what I'm hearing, or B, that the majority of Iranians are going to want to bring him in. So let's say that they topple the government, but there's no emergent leader. So now you have democracy with no leader, but that sounds like chaos to me. What do you really think would be the outcome of that?
It's good voice of point, because if you look at Egypt, they want to be a democracy. You saw what happened in Morsi with the Muslim Brothers. So when you give them democracy, there's a problem there in Egypt, because the democracy there, the people, they want to be Muslim. They want to be, you know, more extreme in idea. In Iran, the different, as you see in Iran, we know that the Iran don't want to be a Muslim authority and start praying all the time. They want to live. They want money. They want to free economy. So I think when you give the Iranian citizen democracy, they will see a leader there. This is the difference between Iran and other countries. You know, let's go to Jordan. Jordan now, if you take the king from there and give him democracy, I am telling you, there will be the bad thing that we can do. Because all of them, the majority, they are Palestinians and with the Muslim ideology, I think that ISIS will control there in Jordan. But the Iranian regime in Iran, I think it's the different, that this is the world. I think all the world, all the leaders, they know that the Iranian regime, they will be not the same as the Arab countries. The Arab countries, if you give them democracy, there will be a terrible thing there. There will be extreme Muslim and radical Muslims. But the difference I'm telling you, you will see that will in Iran, we will see leaders that they will be, they want peace also in Israel, and will be peace in the countries. I hope that, and I think it's, let's say it's better from now. For us, it's better. That for sure.
In Israel as allies, once again, it would literally, it's the stuff that dreams are made of. You mentioned Jordan. Let's talk about Jordan for a moment. Can you The Hashemite kingdom has been under a lot of pressure, of course, from the populace, as honestly has Egypt, as far as the peace treaty with Israel. It seems like Jordan is as close as ever to its own collapse. And so I'm wondering, how are Israel and Jordan sort of supporting each other in this war? I know Jordan, of course, is allowing Israel to use its airspace and possibly also doing some of its own aerial defense. But can you talk a little bit about the evolution of this relationship, because it's certainly been tested the last 20 months.
On the scene, they are working together. You know, I think that also the population there in Jordan, they are seeing around what happened in Syria, what happened in Egypt, and what happened in Gaza. I think they want to still and live. They don't care what happened to Iran. So all the time I go inside the Facebook of the Jordanian and start looking there. A lot of them start writing there in the Facebook, why Jordan helping Israel? Why Jordan attacking Iran against Iran? Why? And you see that all the majority of them, they're saying, we don't want to live under Iran regime. We don't care about the Iranian. Iranian using our airway. We don't want them to be here. So you see the population start understanding that if they want to live, they start thinking West. I think that the Jordanian now, they understand for them, it's better to be West with the idea of West and not being, let's say, going with the Palestinian and going with the Iranian. So I don't think that that something will happen to the Jordanian. They will still living like as they love their king. For us, we need to support the king. I'm telling you also in the Christian community there, because I have relative there in Jordan, they are telling me all the time, you know, there's a lot of Muslim, radical Muslim, but they're afraid from the country. They're afraid from the king. That's the reason they are not attacking the Christian there. You know, one of the priests was being attacked by one of the Muslims. Yeah, you know what happened? All the police, the Jordanian police, they go to his house and took him with no trail, and put it to the jail. Still, there are 7 years in jail just because this one Muslim, he's 23 years. He just attacked a Christian priest. So I want that the Jordanian and the king still control in Jordan. And I hope that the West still support it. But, you know, he's too smart, the king. He all the times need to say, we not peace, we want peace, one peace. But if you ask him and you sit with him in four eyes, he will tell you, we hate Iran and we hate the Muslim Brotherhood and we hate Hamas. I think this is the word of the Jordanian king. This ideology. I think you have Hamas also in Las Vegas. You have Hamas also in UK, in all the places, yes? But if you don't give them power, they cannot do nothing because they are in the mind. You know, when you say that I am Hamas, tomorrow morning, one young, he will say to you, I'm start believing in the Khilafah, I believe in ISIS. Then you see, okay, we have also somebody here from Hamas. But Hamas in Jordan, they don't have any weapon and they won't attack Israel. They won't do it or attack also the kingdom. They won't do it. Hamas you have also in Turkey. In Turkish. So what they did in Turkey? Nothing. They cannot do nothing because they're afraid also from Erdogan. So we need to work with the intelligence and try looking for those Hamas and leaders, Hamas leaders, or let's say ISIS leaders, and capture them. Because for me, it's like another snake will be in other countries. But still, I'm telling you, don't be afraid. The Jordanian won't happen and nothing in Jordan. They will keep in the peace process together and they won't attack Israel. That I'm telling you for sure.
Obviously, to fly over its airspace. It seems as if they had a choice. They could either ally, they could ally with Iran, or they could ally. And that might sound ridiculous, but it's still a choice. And so they're making, and they've made broad overtures about wanting to join the Abraham Accords as well. So it seems as if many of Iran's proxies have not only been lost, but at this point are outright betraying them. Do we know if Iran has tried to pressure Syria and say, listen, guys, whose team are you on? Or have they just accepted that they've lost most of their proxies? I mean, Hezbollah also is like, yeah, we're not getting involved. It sort of seems like when your benefactor says, I need you, you're supposed to just show up. So have there been threats? Do we know?
Now it's divided not to only to north and south. Now, for us, for Israel, it's South Syria. But let's talk about South Syria, because I don't want to talk about the north of Syria, because I don't know what's happening there. But the north, it's in front of Turkish and the Kurdinian and other. Let's talk about the south of Syria. In the south, I am telling you, for me, Ihab, I am in a great relationship and contact with the Christian villages there. Those Christian villages who, it's near the border, near the Israeli border, we are talking with them. The Druze there also, you know that Israel support also the Druze. So when you are telling me that the proxy of Iran do want to attack Israel, how they can come to Israel, that now you know that all the villages that nearby Israel, they are Druze village and a Christian village. So all of those proxy of Iran want to go to inside Israel to attack Israel, they need, first of all, to go inside those villages. And those villages, they are against the Iranian regime. They are against also ISIS and the other Sunni, Salafi terrorism. And those Druze and Christian village, they want to live side by side in Israel. So those proxy, for sure that the Iranian want to use them, but they cannot use them. Because they don't have the power, they don't have any missiles, and they cannot come nearby Israel or next to Israel to attack Israel. Now, we have the best time that Israel can say now in the border in Syria. It's the best thing that can happen here in the first, in the 100th century now, I'm telling you.
A lucky domino, as we say. So do you think it's more likely, speaking of Syria, that the Ayatollah would flee to Russia, or do you think it's more likely that eventually in the next week or two, Israel assassinates the Ayatollah? It seems like he's not going to get out of this alive and in Iran, but he may get out of it alive if he escapes to Russia. Oh, and by the way, how would he escape to Russia? Because people are talking about this, if Israel has control over the airspace.
A lot of Iranian people, they start escaping, going to Afghanistan. So I think from Afghanistan, he can go abroad. That for sure. So I don't want to talk a lot about it, because we need to control also to be above Afghanistan to see if the Ayatollah will go from there. But if you're asking me if the Ayatollah want to go to Russian, I think he won't do it, because he too smart and know that the Russian won't support him. Let's think about the Russian and the Iranian. Do you think that Russia want to support Iran? I know that you are looking at me and saying, but the Iran are supporting the Russia against Ukraine, and we know it. But now, Iranian regime start, they want the nuclear, they want a weapon, they have the missiles, plastic missiles. So what will say the Russian? They will see that there's a country, they got a nuclear weapon, and they will attack them. So Ayatollah, they know that we cannot trust them. So I don't believe the Ayatollah will go away and say take a shelters in Russia. If he would go away, he would take a shelters in Yemen, in Afghanistan, or in other countries.
So can he even get out of his bunker and live to tell? I mean, obviously, Israel knows. I think that he's lucky that he's got Trump honestly protecting him right now, because Israel knows where he is. Trump is saying don't kill him yet. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe you have some insight into that. But should he emerge from this bunker, unless it was an underground tunnel all the way to Afghanistan, which I wouldn't hold past them.
Oh, wait a second. Saddam Hussein, where is it today? Died. Al-Qaddafi, where is it? Not here. Hezbollah, Nasrallah, where is it? Ismail Haniyeh, where is it? So I'm telling to the Iranian, please print a photo of Ayatollah Khomeini and write there RIP. Good luck.
So Trump has made it clear so far that he doesn't want Israel to assassinate the Ayatollah, even though Israel is ready to. Netanyahu says that the assassination of the Ayatollah would, in effect, end the war. What is the thought behind just because of the fears of regional instability? What is the thought behind stopping Israel from finishing that job?
All the time Trump's saying to Iran, let's go to the peace process, let's sit to the table and talk about that, you know, about nuclear. I say, we have 16 days, and if you don't do it, it will be a bad thing. So when Israel start the war, Trump's saying, I'm not involved. But if you're asking me, there's political issue, I think, yes, this is my idea, this is what I'm thinking. So I think that Trump and USA saying, if we say for sure that USA is together with Israel against Iran, then they will say, okay, what about Russia? What about, you know, Russia saying, okay, so all the time saying aside, we need to protect Iran. I think so. So Trump saying we are not together, we are not together. When the Iranian regime start, you know, maybe Russians start seeing that the Iranian saying, okay, that's it, there's no more Ayatollah, then the USA will say we are together with Israel, then Russia will do nothing. Russian will say, that's it, we need to accept now what's happening here. Maybe there will be a peace process. I believe that also Russians saying that the US, they don't want to be an Iranian. They don't any have nothing to sit there. So they just want to, you know, take this enemy and put all the terror aside, and let's say, let's go to peace process together. So I believe there's a political issue here. I don't care about the political issue. I care about that we can how we can protect our country and destroy the enemy.
That it seems like you're in certain ways on the same page of peace emerging in the Middle East as the outcome of this war. I'm wondering, however, if this vision is a bit idealized, that that it seems very simplistic, and I actually see that same story where the Abraham Accords in this miracle scenario. I mean, some people agree, some people disagree. I see Lebanon and Syria on the verge of joining the Abraham Accords. If let's say we got regime change in Iran joins the Abraham Accords, it just seems like, okay, well, if Iran's on our side, then Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthis, gone, everything. But we have the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not that simple. There's layers upon layers upon layers of terror. And though it can easily and obviously be said that Iran is the head of the snake, or the octopus, whatever you want to say it, that assumes there's only one snake or octopus. So what happens, like, so we saw what happened with ISIS, right? Obviously, ISIS was, for all intents and purposes, dismantled, but Muslim Brotherhood, big, sprawling, worldwide, Iran goes down. What happens to the Muslim Brotherhood when this power vacuum might emerge?
East will be peace forces before peace in the West. I really am telling you about my vision. I'm telling you now because I have a lot of friends in the European countries. I visit in London. In London, I saw ISIS there. So if you tell, I'm telling you what my vision, what I'm thinking. I think that they will see peace process here in the Middle East. You will see that Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, maybe, yes or no, Iran, Saudi, that for sure, there will be peace. But then we will see a war in the West. War in the West. Because I visit in the UK and visit in Italy, I saw what the Muslim Brotherhood, they are there, are so extreme. They are attacking out their countries. You know, it's too much democracy. So I think that the West, start. You need to start wake up and thinking about yourself. Because here in the Middle East, we are fighting our fight, and we will win, that for sure. We will stop the terror because we live the terror all day, all night. We are fighting, but you're there in the West countries, you can't see the enemy. We see the enemy all the time. So we will finish the war here. There will be a war in the West countries. That I'm telling you. Those extreme Muslim Salafic. What do you think? To take over the... can take over the world. In Syria, they can do nothing in Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt, and Jordan. So when they can do it? In the Western country. So I'm thinking that there will be the real problem. Our next problem will be in the West. I'm telling you, you know, before the war in Gaza and Lebanon and Iran, I am telling you all the time, I'm so afraid what will happen here in the Middle East. But now you start, you know, when you ask the citizen here in Israel, they're all the time saying to you, why we want to go to the West, we want to live to the West, but they're not in the West. And they came back from the West and telling us, why, Ihab, don't go to the West. You don't understand what's happening there. It's you know, it's too bad. It's like Gaza Strip. It's like, you know, it's like Syria. So I think we are going in a bad way, bad situation in the West. And I think now in this war, in this year, we will see the peace process will start, you know, going up here in the Middle East.
A lot of talk in America and has been for the last 20 months that it seems as if Europe has already fallen, to tell you the truth. And we're hoping that America doesn't also. But obviously we see these masses of people calling for jihad in our streets and waving terrorist flags, marching to their own death. But again, so when you say West, I believe you mean for right now Europe, not quite America yet, or you think it that?
So, outside the church, Muslim praying there. Why you can go to the mosque and pray in the mosque? Why you are praying next to the church in Israel? You won't see that, and also, and I'm telling you, also in the Arab countries. You won't see Muslims go outside churches, also in Egypt, and start praying to Allahu Akbar next to the churches. But now you can see it in the West and also in Canada and also in USA. It's too much democracy.
West look like 9/11? Does war on the West look like 10/7? Does it look like something else? Is it ideological? Is it murder? Is it mayhem? Like what are you envisioning in this war on the West? How do you see it unfolding?
And I saw how the Muslims start control and sit Israel. So I they don't need the 7 October. They don't need 9/11 because they are there now. They can control the countries. You can see now that the churches will be like a mosque. You will see that the Muslims will start controlling there. You know, I am not against the Muslim. I'm not against the Arabs. But unfortunately, when all the immigration to those Muslim going to the West countries, they want to take the Khalifa to be there. They want it to be a Muslim countries. So if you won't wake up, believe me, it will be bad. Bad. You know, Israel, we will live for safe.
Are raising this red flag, but our world leaders are the ones that just don't seem to be seeing this at all. I mean, we look at Starmer and Macron, my goodness, and in whatever, Spain, Canada, Norway, Sweden, name the country. How could I honestly, part of me wonders, how could they not see what's going on? And part of me is like, you know what? They don't care what's going on, because as long as they live to see another day, the next generations are not their problem. But if, let's go back to Israel defeats Iran decisively, okay? Let's say even a peace process. You don't think that that would have ripple effects into the West?
Are Salafic, not the Shia, so they don't care. So I want to, you know, just show me all the demonstration against Iranian or against the war. You can see it. I didn't see any of them. So they don't care. No, if you ask those Muslims that live in British, they are Salafic. They are from the Muslim Brotherhood. They are against the Sharia, the Shia. So they don't care. They don't afraid. Now, no, they think that they are tougher because they think, okay, now there's no Iranian. So if there's a Shia in the West, we can take over them also. This is also their vision. Those Salafic, extreme Salafic, or the Muslim Brotherhood are the most of them that are Sunni, not Shia. So they don't care what happened to Iran. Iran is Shia. But Azerbaijan, Israel with Azerbaijan, they're working together. You know, they're getting all the weapon and the supply. But Hamas now, they say that the Arabs world, they are not supporting them. The Jordanian and the Egyptian, they are not supporting Hamas. So Hamas, he want money. So what he say? He go to Iranian, to the Hezbollah, and say that we are together. You know, there's a quit. I forgot it. Your enemy is my enemy, is my friend. You know, it all. So this is what happened. Believe me, Hamas and Iran, they don't love each other. That's for sure. But because they think that, because the Jewish are here and there's an Israel here, so they are working together against, let's say, Israel. But what happened in Israel, let's say? I hope that we are still here, yes? What do you think? They will treat against each other.
I have a question about the reserves, and I don't want to get too much into this because I'm looking forward to our broader conversation in a couple weeks that's going to get into some of that. But with the war in Gaza, and now the, well, question, what's going on in Iran is mostly air force, and what's going on in Gaza is mostly ground force. Is that accurate? So does that, I'm going to ask a really stupid question now. Does that mean they're different soldiers, meaning that the war in Iran isn't necessarily taking away resources from what would otherwise be in Gaza?
Iran, Libya, and et cetera. About the soldiers, there's no difference between those soldiers who fight against Gaza, those who are sitting in the headquarters, and those who are fighting against Iraq and Iran. But as you understand now, Gaza, it's next to us. There's no border between us and Gaza. And we have also the kidnapped are there under the ground. The citizens there, they are afraid to take action against Hamas. in Iran, they can flow away, the Iranian, they can flow away to Afghanistan, to Russia, to wherever. But in Gaza, the Egyptian, they don't want the Palestinian to go there. So the citizen there is with the Hamas are together. It's not an easy way to fight there. You know, let's take USA in Afghanistan. Let's take it USA and Vietnam. It's not easy. And also, let's look about Russian against Ukrainian. When the Russian and Ukrainian just launching missiles and aircraft, it was good. You know, they start fighting together. But when you take the ground and go inside the villages and the cities, theirs will be the problem of fighting. So I hope after we finish with Gaza, Gaza won't be any threat anymore. We need to keep fighting there, taking all the kidnap from there, and destroyed all the bunkers and destroyed all the missiles. That's it. If the Egyptians won't take over Gaza, so we need to be there. The world need to understand that if the Egyptians won't take over Gaza and start controlling there, the Israeli government need to take over Gaza. Because if the Israeli government won't take over Gaza, the IDF, we will see one more missiles, one more kidnap. As you see now in the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, because the army there are no missiles. There are no kidnapped, meanwhile, because we are there inside. This is the Wild Wild East.
Dan, that Israeli occupation is not about imperialism. It's about securing the borders and making sure that the citizens are safe, because 10/7 simply cannot happen again. Iran, does it end when Fordo is destroyed? Does it end when their missile production capacity are destroyed? Does it end when the Ayatollah is assassinated? All of the above. Another thing that I think people need to understand, the reason why Gaza wasn't over in a day is because of the hostages. There are no hostages in Iran, so expectations are that this will be a short war. Among other things, Iran is going to run out of munitions fairly quickly within a week or two. What would you say is the point or points that need to be accomplished for this current war with Iran to end?
Meanwhile, you know, all the aircraft are destroyed. All the missiles is starting to be destroyed. All the nuclear weapon, what they didn't think that they will have, they don't have nothing now. So, well, what happened to the Iranian? So the Iranian with no army, they cannot protect themselves. You know, there's a difference between fighting against terrorism and against countries. So now we are fighting against country. It seems, you know, it's wear and wear when you say that country against country, it's better fight that you are fighting terrorism or against people. So now we are not attacking people in Iran. We are attacking country. We are fighting against the Ayatollah. So I think when we destroyed all their weapon and destroying their army, then they will say, we are not protected anymore. So when we start talking about, let's sit on the table and say what we want to do. You know, they are destroying their economy. They're not having no food. They don't have any weapon now. They don't have any army. So what? So for why he need to keep on being as in the authority as Ayatollah. So let's keep on in fighting, and we'll keep destroying their army. Then we will see a peace process. I think so. We have time.
Your positivity, and I'm really clinging to it, but I have to ask one more question, which is not a pleasant one. There's some talk about the Ayatollah knows it's over for him and for the IRGC, but there's some talk about one last shot by attaching either creating like a dirty bomb, which doesn't require a full nuclear warhead, or biological warfare. Now that they know that their missiles are not only hitting, but it's irrelevant, even if they get intercepted, anything that was on it would still disperse. Is this a viable threat?
Where exactly where all the biologic missiles there? This is first. Second thing you need to understand now, Israel, meanwhile, they're attacking with aircraft only. What do you think? We don't have any missiles here? We got missiles also. So, you know, when we'll decide here, when Benjamin Netanyahu will decide that we need to attack by missiles, there, then there will be Iranian anymore. I think the Iranian won't use the biologic, because if he use it, he will understand that he will destroy his country and he will destroy himself. So it's better for him to escape, better than using any weapon like this, a biologic weapon. But still, I'm telling you, the intelligence, we know all the places where all the biologic weapon, they got it. I'm telling you now, in the west of Iran, it's too far from Israel. You know, they are too far in the west. They got their places there in the west of Iran. In the east, not in the west. In the east of Iran, we are for sure they have got missiles with the biologic missiles. But to launch these missiles, they are too big missiles. To launch missile like that, you can see it by satellites, you can see it by everything, by radar. You can destroy it in the far, far away from here. So this is why the reason I believe he won't use it, and he don't have the tools to use those missiles. If they transport it, we can see it by, you know, by now all the radars can see it. I don't believe he would do it. I don't believe that.
He's not going to survive it. I don't know how much he cares if the rest of his people survives. I mean, they're not suicidal the same way as the Hamas are. There is a certain level of self-preservation or rationality, but at the same time, I don't remember who it is who has the tombstone that said, or has a tombstone that's going to say, you know, I live to destroy Israel or whatever. It really is their raison d'etre. And it seems like if he's like, okay, fine, but I'm going out in a blaze of glory. I also heard that he might do it as a punishment for Syria and Jordan for cooperating, that if the bombs are detonated above their airspace, then their people would be the ones who would get the nuclear or the biological fallout from that interception.
Stop. We don't know anything. That's it. We want to live. Let's say if he launched rocket like this, what he will win? What he will got? You know, all the UN, all the world will against him also. Meanwhile, not all of them are against Iran. You know, in the UN, you will see countries saying Israel, it's not okay. They attacking Iran and Iran won't attack Israel. So if Iran will attack Israel with the biologic, as you see, I don't think that any countries will say that they are supporting Iran. Let's talk about Russia and Ukraine. At the same, what the Russian, he can now launching biologic or atomic missiles, but he don't do it because he understand that the world will be against him.
That when it comes to the United Nations, I mean, every rule is broken when it comes to Israel. I mean, the double standards are extraordinary, and even the United Nations has yet to condemn the attacks on 10/7. So I don't think that anybody is really afraid of condemnation when it comes to going against the Jewish state, unfortunately, or Israel. But let me just say that listening to you talk gives me tremendous hope. And I know you're a man of tremendous faith, and I'm sure that helps to carry you into inform your optimism. I pray that you are correct, and also knowing that everything that drives Israel, everything that drives the IDF is all about peace. It's all about peace. And I think people just don't understand that sometimes when you're under attack, war is necessary to achieve peace. I pray that your vision comes through and that people wake up and say, oh, that's what it was about. So praying for peace, for Israel, for the region, for the safety of the IDF. Thank you for your service in the reserves. You've been very, very generous with your time. Is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
The people, their families, because those hostages mean a while, they're 2 years under the ground. So we pray together for Israel. God bless Israel. God bless you. And thanks a lot.
Ehab, I'm looking forward to having you back on the show in, I think, the second week of July, if I'm not mistaken, if not before. Stay safe, and Am Yisrael Chai.